Hello and welcome to yet another edition of the Getting to Know You podcast, episode 14. And today we're joined by a very special guest. Today we're joined by Mia Dirks. Mia, welcome on.
Very happy to be here.
I usually would be like, oh, it's your, in front of the camera for once, but there's no camera, but
yeah.
in the spotlight, I'll say.
We wish, yeah. But.
So, let's get right into it. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself if they don't know you already?
Yeah, so my name is Mia, of course. I'm a junior here at Oswego. I'm a broadcasting major, graphic design, and audio production double minor. So I'm very involved in the arts and stuff. And at WTOP, I do graphics there. I'm the graphics director, and I'm involved in a couple different shows. And out in my free time, which seems like never anymore. I like to go on hikes and go outdoors and paint.
Okay. So where are you from?
I'm from Bethpage, New York, which is on Long Island.
Oh, man.
Just the important, yeah.
Oh, Long Island.
Yeah.
So is that a very, like, nature-centric place?
No.
Not at all?
No.
So where's the love for nature come from?
My desire to escape.
Okay.
That's where the love for nature comes from. No, yeah, where I'm from is the middle of suburbia. The town next to me is Levittown, which is, if you've learned that in your social studies class, is the first real suburb of America.
Oh, okay.
So that's my little fun fact. But yeah, very cookie-cutter houses, concrete, everything.
Wow.
I don't know. So yeah, I don't really like it anymore. I'm very grateful to have lived there. There's a lot of, like, obviously there's stores everywhere.
Right.
And everything's within 5 minutes. But I love coming upstate and seeing real nature.
Well, why don't you talk a little bit about growing up in Long Island?
Yeah, so there's just houses everywhere, basically. Every street is just a row of houses, and then when it's not houses, it's stores. So we have, like, every store possible.
Yeah.
And I don't know, my school was relatively small. I had 250 kids, but my cousin went to, like, 1,000.
Oh my god.
His grade was, like, 1,000 people, yeah. So it's, like, pretty packed, densely packed in there with people. The thing that's stereotypical Long Island of me is I love bagels. Everything bagels from my bagel store down the road. Shout out Stuff a Bagel in Bethpage. Such a, like, I love bagels. So that's my, like, one stereotypical Long Island
thing. Wow, it's the bagels.
Yeah.
So did you have siblings growing up?
Yeah, I have a younger brother.
Okay, how's your guys' like relationship? You guys have a good one?
Yeah.
What's the age difference?
He's currently a senior in high school, so 3 years
apart.
But yeah, we're like best friends, honestly. Nice. We love talking in thick Brooklyn/Long Island accents to each other, so that's like our...
Do you have an accent at home and an accent here?
Here, I hide my Long Island.
Really?
One person told me that, like, they thought I was from Vermont for some reason, but I was like, good. Because I don't want people knowing. No offense to all the other Long Islanders.
No, it gets a bad rep, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Certain people bring it down.
But yeah, no, when I'm at home, like, I just love talking in, like, thick...
Letting it loose?
Yeah.
I love it. But did you play any sports or anything growing up?
Yeah, I did track from 7th grade to senior year. And I was going to do it here, but I didn't. But that was, like, my whole high school career was just track, yeah.
So you want to talk to me a little bit about that? Talk to me about your experiences through track.
So I did all the tall people events. I did the hurdles and the high jump.
Okay.
I did pretty well at it. I don't know. I eventually made it to states for high jump.
Okay.
My PR was 5'3", so 5'3" inches.
Yeah.
And 400 hurdles was, like, my favorite event ever. That's, like, the lap.
Mm-hmm.
One lap around with hurdles on it. It was so hard. I wanted to die every time I finished the race. Like, it's, yeah, your lungs just feel like on fire.
Yeah.
Everything is on fire. But it was amazing. I was really, like, gaining traction in the event and really working at getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pandemic happened, so then it just kind of
derailed.
Yeah. But that was, like, I really, really enjoyed doing that and being on the team and going to meets and going to competitions.
I loved
meets and being, like, getting in the competitive spirit. Mm-hmm. So
now, you know, you mentioned a couple of your interests early on. I guess that we could say that that's not really, like, stereotypical of, like, an athlete to like or anything along those lines. Did you find people on the team that had the similar interest to you, or was it kind of like you had to try to fit in with the crowd?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I had to fit in with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I I have like so many different interests, so it's just like with track, I had to be very track focused and more athletic and always talking about PRs, records, and things like that, and always just talking about stats and the next meet and how many reps of an exercise you were doing or whatever. Like, it was just more, when you're at track, you just gotta put on
the track.
Yeah.
No, as somebody who ran it myself, I know how, like, annoying it could have been.
What events did you do?
I ran, let's see, what did I do? I only did indoor track for 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
So I did, the first year I did triple jump and long jump.
Oh, really?
Hated
wow.
It. I was bad at it.
I could never do that. The
awful.
Triple jump, like, when you have to do,
yeah.
I watch it in the Olympics, and it's insane to me how far they can go.
One of my friends did it, and he was actually the person that got me into track, and he was like, oh, just do what I do. And I was like, okay. He was like state level triple jumper.
Yeah.
And I remember I was terrible. I'd fall every single time.
Yeah.
But so I did it the first year. And then I really wanted to like run because that was like what I was good at. And I wound up doing the, I did a 400 once. I was on the 4x4 team. It was awful.
Yeah. So
I did it.
400 is the worst.
I literally did it once. And I'm not even joking. I came around. Nobody told me how to run a 400. It was like the first meet. And they were like, all right,
yeah.
Go. So I ran and I, first 200, I split
sprinted.
Something.
Sprinted.
Split something
you
crazy,
sprinted,
dude.
Yeah.
Like, I was crazy. And then...
And then the 300
hit,
like,
and I'm like, I'm going to fall.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, there's no way I'm making this. And I crossed hand off the baton. Down I went, right on the ground.
Yeah.
It was bad. But, and then I did, so then I realized I can do the 300.
Mm-hmm.
That once, and just pulled my hamstring so bad and never recovered.
Oh,
so
no.
I missed, like, a good probably month and a half. I'd be like,
oh,
I'd get back, and then I'd do, like, a sprint, and boom, it would pull again. And I was like, so I just never recovered until eventually they were like, just stop.
Yeah.
So yeah, it wasn't
like,
fun.
You had your chance.
I did. So not that I was any good, but like I could have been okay. But
yeah.
But no,
that
I go.
Sucks.
Yeah, but it's fine. But going back to you, you know, kind of having your tracks up and having these other interests as well. Were you able to like? Did you have like track friends and then other friends, or was it very much just one or the other?
Yeah. Well, I had one friend. She was in orchestra with me as well.
Okay.
So we would in. At track, we would talk about orchestra things from what happened in orchestra class, and in orchestra, we would talk about stuff from the track meets and stuff like that. So I had a few that were kind of overlapping a little bit, but they were mostly like separated. I would say hi to my track friends in the hallway, and then see my other class friends in class, I guess.
Now, you know, you got a very musical and like creative side of you. Would you say like where do you think you get that from?
My dad's side of the family is very creative.
Okay.
A lot of my aunts and uncles are very, like, a lot of my uncles do, they have their own graphic design company. They're painters, and every time we have a family gathering, they always have their, like, musical instruments. They always play their banjo, and they have, like, a whole wall of guitars and stuff. So they're all very creative. My mom's side of the family, not at all. So
wow.
I definitely got it from
are they tall,
the dark
though?
Side. Yeah. My mom's 5'8", my dad's 6'3".
Oh, yeah. I was
so
going to say, did
why.
You get the, height from your mom's side of the creative stuff from your dad's side? But just like, you know, how, like, was it going all the way back to, like, when you were even a kid? Like, what was that creative side of you? Like, were you always into drawing? Was it, you know, did you like animation? Like, what was the deal?
I guess I started off with music, actually.
Okay.
I started playing the cello in third grade.
Oh, wow.
And then I was, like, obsessed with cello. All my school projects would be about cello.
Really?
I had this one project. It was about, like, you had to make a puppet out of, like, a famous person. And I did mine on Yo-Yo Ma, the famous cellist. He's, like, the best cellist in the world. And I think I still have it in, like, the little cabinet we have downstairs with all of our school, like,
awesome.
Young memories. But, yeah, so I was, like, obsessed with the cello. Would practice all the time. I would hang out with my teacher at lunch and just... It was amazing. And then from there, I think in middle school, that's when I started to go into art. And then I took more art classes and I got into like the advanced art track, I guess.
Yeah.
And then from there, it kind of shifted. I wouldn't say more towards art, but like now, especially I have like, I would say I have an equal balance of music and art. But in high school, especially like, I think high school, I was more towards art, I guess.
Okay.
I took a bunch of fine art classes, and I took the AP art course, which was, like, really, really interesting, because it was more about, like, you had to pick a subject and make a whole portfolio based on that, so it's more about, like, the concept behind it instead of just, like, draw a sunset, things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say it's just always been flip-flopping, but I always try and incorporate some sort of creative thing into my life somehow.
No, I mean, and it shines through just from, like, the short time that we've known each other, but, like, was it something that just came easy to you, or was it like did you really have to like put in a lot of effort for it?
Well, it definitely takes a lot of time to develop things, but I would say, I guess I picked up on stuff, some stuff easily, I guess, just art in terms of shading or like the computer programs when I was learning it here in school. But it definitely takes a lot of practice to develop all those things, but it's a, I would say it's an equal mix of both. You definitely need to be able to, like for cello, you need to have like some sort of sense of coordination to do it, but yeah. I don't know.
What, tell me about like a little bit about the cello. So, you know, did you ever, was it very much just like something you did in school, or did you like make like all county or any all district?
I used to do like all those NISMA things when I was in elementary school, and then middle school it just was more like a class that I would go to.
Yeah.
But then in high school I started getting more and more like finding outside pieces to just learn on my free time and things like that. And I do it now in the college orchestra as well. So that's been really helpful, I guess, in balancing out. Like, everything else is stressing me out, but orchestra is, like, my favorite thing to go to and just chill out. And it's, like, I have no homework for that class besides practicing, obviously. But yeah, it's just something that I could take my mind off things. But,
right.
Yeah.
No, I love it. So, yeah, I mean, I used to play a little French horn myself.
Really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I played in high school.
Do you ever want to join the orchestra? Can you still
I don't know.
Play
I haven't played in, like,
because we have French horns in our orchestra.
Yeah.
So,
really?
Yeah.
I haven't played probably since before the pandemic.
Really?
It's been a long time.
How long did you play for?
I started in fourth grade.
Oh, wow.
And I played all the way through high school. I did, I was in the symphonic band throughout high school. And then I was all county twice, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah, I used to dabble in that.
Yeah,
but no, it was fun. I missed that because it was very much like, it was always cool. Like at least for me, from my perspective of it, was like, yeah, I wasn't something that I was super like passionate about, but like,
because
you know, a lot of times it was a grind, especially in like high school. Like, and I'm sure it is like this in college too. But like, you're working to a concert, and it's the same stuff, and sometimes
over and over again. And there's that one song that you just hate,
and you're like, get this out of my life now. But then like, genuinely, and I'm sure you can agree with me, but like the feeling of like, okay, it's done and you put out the final product and you know, your parents are there, or you know, there's a crowd there and everybody's clapping, and it almost would give you like a sense of pride of like, I helped contribute to like a really awesome sound.
And not even just on your own too, I would say individual accomplishments, like there would be like some phrases or something that it's just like 16th notes for an entire page, and then I look at it on the first day, I'm like, I'm never going to be able to play this. And then little by little, you work at it. And then eventually when you see that you can finally play it, it's just like, dang, I came from that nothing to finally being mastering it. So it's definitely a thing of pride.
I also want to throw out too, I won most improved from ninth grade.
So,
yeah, I did. I came in. I mean, we had this huge like music program, but they threw me into the symphonic band as a ninth grader, which is like, I think I was one of like two ninth graders in the symphonic band.
Wow.
They threw me in there. I didn't know what I was doing at all. Like, I genuinely, like, none of the phrases I knew, I couldn't carry a pitch for my life, nothing.
Yeah.
And I wound up by the end getting that award. And I was like, because there was no COVID, so he gave me it, like, through the mail. And I was like, so shout out.
Yeah.
Everybody home.
Good
but, yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But no, like, so going from non-new music into your art and kind of how that's translated and grown with you a long time, going to, like, getting ready to making that decision, going into SUNY Oswego and coming here, was it music and arts? Like, was that like, okay, this is something that is going to really be important to me and eventually how I pick my school?
I don't know if I would say picking my school. I mainly picked this because I just like the lake, honestly.
Fair enough.
I came here and I felt this sense of like, I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
Like, it was like that weird sense of fate. But once I got here, I just started off with broadcasting originally. And then I was supposed to do track, like I said. I was signed up to be on the team and run and everything, and then COVID happened, obviously, and so then it got canceled and I got out of shape and I didn't feel like doing it anymore. It was like, I did my thing in high school, I had my glory in high school,
right?
I'm just gonna leave it at that. And so originally I had chosen between track and orchestra, and so I was like, okay, I'm gonna do track because I'm never gonna have time to do orchestra, even though now it's like I could have obviously fit that in my schedule. But once I didn't do track, I was like, okay, I'm going to do orchestra next semester. And so that's how I started getting into it a little bit. And especially, too, with art and design as well.
Okay.
I didn't start off with that at all. Like, I was like, no, I'm just going to do this. And we're going to figure out how that's... I would just paint... When COVID happened, too, I would there was nothing to do. You know that.
Yeah.
So I would just sit in my room and paint like all day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I would spend my time because it was like, we couldn't talk to anyone.
No.
We couldn't do anything.
Were you here? You were on campus?
Yeah. I've been here this whole time since
fall
2020.
So
were you not here?
I was here for like a week. And then I went home.
Oh.
I was here for like a week. And then I was like, all my stuff's online. I hate it here. I'm going home.
Lucky.
So yeah, no, I don't really like 30 minutes away. Not like,
yeah,
don't have to catch a plane or anything. But no, so going back to broadcasting, where did that come from?
I have no idea. I honestly have no idea. I was trying to think about this coming up to this because I knew you were
gonna
ask. Yeah. But I remember there was some night in like 10th grade, I was sitting on the couch. My dad usually watches like news at night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just sitting on the couch watching him, and he was on Rachel Maddow. I don't know if you know her.
I've heard of that
from,
name.
From, like, CNBC or one of those news channels. And I was like, it would be really cool to be either like her or working with her in some sort of news capacity. And so I think then I was just like, no, that's what I'm going to do. I had no idea what I was going to choose.
Really?
I was originally between broadcasting and chemistry.
Okay.
So very different things.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was just like, you know what? We're going to go for it. And here we are
now. And you stayed with it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, and you enjoy it. Good.
Yeah, I really do.
So
I've grown into it because starting off, it was a lot of like textbook classes.
Right,
I'm sure
yeah.
you know. And I was like, this is boring. I was going to switch out, honestly.
Yeah.
And then I think it was like 235 video production. That was what really was like,
really?
Okay, I'm going to do this. Yeah.
So like working with like Premiere and everything, that's what
got
you?
Yeah. And like actually getting in the studio, doing it and it was like, yeah.
Do you ever have the desire to be like on screen or was it always like kind of want to be behind the scenes?
Well, it's changing now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was like, no, I'm going to do behind the scenes stuff. And obviously that's still what I do a lot,
yeah.
the majority of, but I think I want to transition into doing something on screen just so I can get the full
experience.
Love
it, man. I feel like that's like kind of a trend. Like people will come in and be like, no, I'm only doing behind-the-scenes stuff. I'm not going on camera. And then they'll be like, oh, yeah.
Because you see everything that's happening on screen, and
yeah.
you're like, I want to be a part of that, too.
Absolutely.
So.
And I always say it, too, like, with sports talk, like, because you've been a part of it now for, like, a year almost, probably, after, like, two straight semesters.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always are, like, encouraging to get the crew involved, and you're always, like, you're very much a part of the team at this point now, which is awesome.
I love your show. It's
I know.
Awesome.
We
it's
love
like
having you,
favorites.
Man.
Yeah.
We genuinely do, because, like, for people at home who aren't familiar with, like, Mia and what she does and, like, her work and stuff, like, we will come to you with an idea. And we'll be like, hey, can you make a graphic? Like, for example, Kick It with Kyle. We'll be like, hey, can we make a graphic? And then I think what was our original idea was, like,
kicking a soccer ball. That was all the notes that I had.
Kicking a soccer ball.
Yeah.
And then you come to us and you're like, okay, I made this. I don't know if it's going to be any good. And it was literally, like, the best thing I've ever seen. It was, like, Kyle's head on, like, a cartoon kicking the ball. It was awesome. It was so perfect.
Yeah.
But so that just is a testament to like, you know, the work that you do and stuff. And I know you talk a lot about like, you know, the amount of time that it takes up and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, is that like when you sit back and you work behind the scenes on these shows and you watch and then you see your creation up on the screen, what goes through your mind in that time?
It's a mix of things, I guess.
Okay.
It's a mix of like, because I've been working on it for so long, I can find the little mistakes, I guess. Like if there's like a little brush stroke out of place or whatever, I'm just like, oh, I could have fixed that or something. But no, it definitely is like nice to see it on screen and know that the hours that I just put into it are like paying off, even if it's something that lasts for 5 seconds or if it's just an image or something.
Right.
Just knowing that everything that I put into it is going to be on screen for someone to enjoy and the producers and everyone is happy with it, then I'm happy with it too. But
so going from like when you first joined here in WTOP and everything, were you aware that this was even like an area of expertise, like creative services? Like,
Vaguely.
Okay.
I had no idea until the general interest meeting. Cause I was like, oh, I'll just work on a camera or something.
Yeah.
I had no idea what WT was at all.
Yeah.
And then I went to the general interest meeting and then I think, Michelle was still the VP and she was like, yeah, we do graphics. We're looking for people. If you're interested in drawing or art or things like that, we're looking for people. I was like, wow, that's great. So I joined the team just as like a team member originally.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to all the meetings and I did things like that. And I tried to contribute a little bit because at that point I was still learning like all the programs and design in the first place. Like,
yeah.
I hadn't really had much professional experience or anything that I would want to put on screen at that point. But yeah, no, I tried my best. And then the next semester I went for graphics director because I really enjoyed it. And I was like, I could really, especially as I moved through my courses, I learned more and more things that I could apply. And I was like, oh, I could try this next semester and I could do that. So that's why I was like, I'm just going to go for it. And, but yeah, definitely did not know about it. I think the creative services team is like a lot of the teams at WTOP are overlooked, I guess, because it's, everyone just thinks you just show up and there's like a TV show and it's on the TV and that's all people know about it.
Yeah. The creative services team is so underrated.
Yeah. Like, but just, we have so many other people. We have the business people, we have the HR, obviously, and we all work together to put the stuff on the screen, but everyone just sees like there's someone on screen doing talking.
So. I could say from my own personal experience, like this is really the first semester that I've been having like roles or been involved in more than just showing up and doing my stuff and leaving. And just to see like in the build up from, okay, here's the show pitches to the run through week, just to see like all that went on behind the scenes, mostly on your guys' end as well. Like when it comes to finding music, doing a video package, having this, having doing an intro, it's like tip the cap to you guys. Like, you guys are crazy, man. We had how many shows? 14, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You guys had to do stuff.
It was a lot.
That's crazy.
It was a lot of late nights, but
but it pays off because everything looks so great now.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course. But so going back to kind of like your creative services or not creative services, geez, your creative design like minor and stuff. And you mentioned just kind of like taking those concepts and applying them here. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you got to be like kind of an anomaly in that class, for like, or an anomaly where like you are. All these other people might be looking to try to be artists or trying to be. Where you were taking that and applying it into like almost a whole new foreign world.
Yeah. I'm the only person I know, I guess, in any of my classes that is doing this sort of thing that's like meant for television or the screen or things like that. Because a lot of it is just, you work on your projects, you hand it in, and that's pretty much it. And a lot of it is for traditional art or more traditional graphic design things. But yeah, I'm hoping in the future. Sadly, my graphic design minor is almost over. Like, I'm almost done with it. So I don't know how many more design classes I'm going to be taking, but I'm hoping to find more art people to kind of recruit and, like, open it up, because I didn't know about it. So I would like to for other people to know as well.
Well, it's just it's always cool, and I always say to everybody that comes in how awesome it is to sometimes just, like, sit back, especially this semester now that, like, sure, I'm needed for things, but I'm also kind of not at times. And I'm just kind of around because I have nothing better to do. But just to see everybody be creative and to see, like even tonight, like, I'll just say, at time of recording, we have the late night show tonight. And we were just talking a little bit before it happened, but, like, to see those guys go out there and, A, just make a fool of themselves, but, B, be creative with it and have so much fun. It's like, that is awesome to see, like, people having fun, being creative and stuff. And it goes deeper than just what you see on screen. Like, it's always behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Always, okay, people are laughing at this. People are enjoying it. You know, I know just this past week we did the whole pumpkin thing, the great pumpkin thing on Sports Talk. And
awesome.
I will literally do that every single week just because I won't even watch it. Because at this point, by the time it goes on air, I've watched it about 12 times.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because I've edited it. I've had to do all the swears, bleeping all the swearing out, everything, having all that taken care of. But like to watch everybody in the back, and I just want to let you, I could see you from where I'm at. Every time I can see you over there. And I like, it always brings me a smile when, like, I'll make a joke and I'll look back and I'll see you laughing.
Yeah.
Like, all right, cool, I got me.
Yeah, because even though I'm on audio, I'm watching the levels and stuff, I'm still enjoying it.
Good.
And especially last semester, too, I was video playback and I had, like, one thing to do.
Right.
So I was just watching it and I was just enjoying it. And, yeah, I love
it. It's awesome.
It's just great seeing, especially not only your show, but just across all the shows in general, seeing all the crews, seeing how many people put in the work and time and effort into it and seeing the final product.
It's awesome.
It's amazing.
No, it's always great, especially like, you know, just to watch it back. And, you know, I feel like you've been on a lot of cruises this year.
Yeah.
A lot of things that I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but are a little outside of your comfort zone as well. Like sport. I mean, you said you ran track, but like for sports shows.
I just smile and nod. With
yeah.
I'm just like, yep, I definitely know what you're talking about.
Right. So it's like to kind of see, and even on my end, like I've done more of the earlier OPs, which is usually, it's not really my thing. I'm usually for the later, but like, you know, I really enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
There's so many different shows. There's so many different topics
yeah.
that are covered. So it's just great. I just love trying to get on different crews every semester and just see what everyone's like and see what the shows are like. And it's been great so far. So.
Oh, it's awesome. And we always will keep a little spot open for you on Sports Talk because we love having you, man. Yeah. You're just as big a part of a team as myself or Kyle or Garrett, just with everything that you do and all the work that you put in for us. It's always appreciated.
Thank you.
Of course. But Mia, before you came in here, I asked you to take a quiz. You took the quiz, right?
Yes.
Good. I figured. The streak stays alive. Nobody's not taking the quiz yet. It's called the viacharacter.org quiz. You can find it at that exact URL. It is, I believe, a 75-question quiz. Takes about 10.
96.
Wow, it must have grown. takes about 10 to 15 minutes to do. And then at the end, it gives you a list of your top strengths. We're going to go through Mia's top five. I kind of have an idea what number one might be. But what's number five for you?
It's perseverance.
Okay.
/ courage. Or under the courage. I don't know what it is. Do you need me to read this?
Do you want to?
Sure, why not?
Oh, we've got to discuss it a little bit.
Finishing what one starts, persevering in a course of action in spite of obstacles, getting it out the door, and taking pleasure in completing tasks.
Is that appropriate?
Yes. Very much so. Like, yeah. If I tell someone I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it, even if I have to stay up till 3 a.m. doing it. So
yeah,
I always have to finish stuff or else I'm just like, it bothers me.
What about, what's number four?
Number four. Kindness, doing favors and good deeds for others, helping them, taking care of them. So I would say it's appropriate too.
Yeah.
Even though, I guess on the inside, I'm like kind of a pessimistic person. But on the outside, yeah, I definitely love doing little things for other people. Just, like, I love making cards for my friends sometimes.
Okay.
Just being like, thanks for being a good friend.
There you go.
Just things like that. But, I don't know, I try and be nice on that.
No, I obviously think you're very nice.
Yeah.
Everybody around, I don't think there's anybody in that club that doesn't think you're very nice. I hope not, at least.
Yeah.
If they do, come talk to me. But either way, number three? What was your number?
Let's see. Appreciation of beauty and excellence. Noticing and appreciating beauty, excellence, and our skilled performance in various domains of life, from nature to art to mathematics to science to everyday experience.
Let's dive into that one a little bit, because this was something that you threw in earlier on in the podcast, and I meant to get back around to it, but I forgot until now. The nature aspect of stuff. You say how you love hiking and everything.
Mm.
And but that you grew up in kind of a very, like, urban city area.
Mm.
Have you've taken advantage of upstate New York, I can assume?
Yeah. Last semester, I was a huge part of the outdoors club. So I
Okay.
go on hikes every weekend and go rock climbing and things like that, which is great. This semester, I don't have time to do that anymore, sadly.
Ah.
But yeah, I definitely always, I agree with this because I love seeing outside, going to the lake and just sitting by the lake for like an hour.
Mm.
I just love doing that and just realizing like, I'm alive.
Yeah.
There's a world. We're just in it. And there's so many beautiful things out there. Even just walking back from the studio, I love looking up and seeing the stars. One thing that I never appreciated, I think, was the stars, because at home, there's light pollution. So
right.
You can't see anything. The sky is like a charcoal gray. It's not black. You can't see anything.
Okay.
So when I got here, just like, I looked up and I was like, wait, there are stars? Like, I totally forgot. So yeah, I just love stars, the lake, hikes, everything. Just, it makes me feel like I'm real. And I'm not just, because I think you can attest to this too. Being in a schedule is like running the same day over and over and over and over again. And it's stressful and you always have stuff to do and you don't really realize, you're just like checking things off.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really realize like,
I
have a life.
Yeah. So are these like, are these activities that you'll just decide, you know what, today I'm just going to go to the lake by myself and just exist?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes it's, like, necessary because it's, like, if it's been a long day and it's not raining out or it's not snowing out, obviously. But sometimes I'm just, like, you know what? I need to just take a moment and just chill out for a second.
Right.
And so I'll just go to the lake or, like, on a Saturday morning, just go to the lake and sit there and just be, like, all right, I need to just take some time to just...
Will you do work or you just sit there?
No. Sometimes I just sit there or I'll listen to music or
draw
or something like that. Sometimes
awesome.
I'll be, like... sketch of the lighthouse, you know, the little lighthouse out on the horizon. Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I might have to try that. I'm not a drawer by any means, but I would have to go down to the lake.
Yeah.
I took one art class and I did well. Like
Which art class?
Oh God. I think
you told me.
Yeah,
105.
2D, 105,
yeah.
2D design or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I did well. The guy told me I had talent. I was like, oh, thank you.
Oh, Oh, so yeah, so you should continue.
I might take another. I registered for class on Thursday, so only time will tell. But what's your second strength?
Back to that. Love of learning. Mastering new skills, topics, and bodies of knowledge, whether on one's own or formally related to the strength of curiosity, but goes beyond it to describe the tendency to add systematically to what one knows. I would agree with that. That's this is a very accurate thing. I was surprised, but yeah, I've always had interest in everything in high school. I'm still interested in things, but I don't have the opportunity to obviously take astronomy here or because it's very limited, I guess. In high school, I loved calculus. I loved chemistry.
Really?
I loved art. I loved music. I loved track. I did everything.
Yeah.
I was interested in everything. Social studies too. And I'm always looking to learn new things, I guess. And even here, I love doing activities. I go to the planetarium a lot. And
do
just
you?
Learn
okay.
about that stuff. So.
That's awesome. I took an astronomy course, but it was online.
Oh.
So I didn't get the full experience. I know.
You had a virtual stargazing session
bad.
Or something.
It was terrible. But, so now, we're the same class, so we're kind of moving through this whole thing together. You're not graduating anytime soon, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Thankfully. Yeah.
I don't want to enter the real world.
No. But do you think so far that we're kind of a little bit past the halfway point, and obviously COVID kind of messed everything up, but do you think you've branched out as much as you wanted to?
I guess so.
Okay.
I guess in terms of, because I already have a major and two minors. That's
right.
All I can do, and I don't think I can add any more to my plate on it.
Would you, though, if you could?
Yeah, probably. I have so many more things that I want to learn, obviously. I really wanted to do a chemistry minor coming in.
Really?
Yeah, I just loved chemistry in high school.
Huh.
It was amazing, but yeah, I can't do that anymore.
No,
it's
you can't double major?
It's too far gone, yeah. But,
fair enough.
It's too late for that, but... No, I would definitely say we are past the halfway point, if you would agree.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Everything's, coming together, and it's all linked, and I'm starting to see the connections between all my classes, and
yeah,
I don't know
it.
About the same for you with you and your minors. I know you do psychology stuff.
Yeah.
I don't, I know for me, it's I'll learn one thing in one class, and then we'll learn it again in another class, and it's just,
I have noticed that, especially, with a lot of the intro courses. Intro to Comm was very similar to, intro to Psych, to an extent. The way of understanding individuals and understanding each other, but it is nice to make those connections.
Yeah.
I remember I don't know if I'll even keep this in, but I'll tell the story real quick. I took intro to sociology, and there was a girl in the class that had found my Instagram and DM'd me and was like, hey, I will I'll pay you X amount of money to take this class for me. And I was like, not doing that, but I'll help you.
What do you mean? Do her quizzes?
Yeah, pretty much take
oh.
her quizzes and everything. Or give her the answers, pretty much, of what she wanted. She wanted me to take the class
oh,
for her.
Wow.
But that's besides the point. I told her, I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Because, A, you can get kicked out of school for that.
Yeah.
And two, I'm like, no.
I'm trying to get expelled.
But I was like, I'll help you out. And, throughout that course, I would learn, and then we take weekly quizzes. So I can guarantee on, a Friday, I'd get, a DM that's like, hey, here are my answers. Can you look them over? And I realized how much that helped to kind of go over her answers. Most of them were wrong because she never went to class.
Oh.
And then kind of lead her in the right direction while also teaching myself is now I just feel like I don't know where I was really going with this, how it connected to anything, but just having that and then teaching others while learning yourself is that something that you can agree with? Have you ever had to do something not something to that extreme, but something along those lines?
I would say
making the connections, that's what we were doing.
Yeah,
make connections.
Yeah, no, I would say teaching obviously is a big part of things because I love helping other people learn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm especially the things I'm passionate about, it's I want other people to like the things I do.
Yeah.
At WT, obviously, I help people learn, on my team.
Right.
If they need to, or they're like, you went to that.
I did go.
Yeah. That thing that was
I
rectangle.
I hope that didn't seem like I was just there to
No.
To be a clown or anything.
You're
okay.
Always welcome. Yeah. You're always welcome.
I got added to the shared driver. I was like,
yeah.
But, I just from, little things that I've done, Melinda kind of taught me how to do, a little bit on Canva, and it's fun. I might pick your guys' brain a little bit more next semester once I kind of take a little bit and move things around in the schedule.
Yeah.
But, because I think that looks fun, man, because, all, everything that you guys make, all the logos, I feel like you can tell which one's yours and which one's, Brian's, if he ever makes one, or if Garrett makes one, you can tell, I feel like, but all of them, I'm like,
we all have our own styles,
I know.
Which is always interesting
it
to
is
me
cool.
to see, what looks good to someone, and then what, I mean, everything looks good, obviously, but I'm just saying what someone really is, like, aims for doing in their designs. And,
well, that's the cool thing about art is that it's subjective. And I feel like there's so many things about, especially about learning, that aren't. Like, a lot of it's very much, this is the right answer, this is how you get to it, that's it. Where, like, art is very free and, like, you know, it's the cliche, but beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And
yeah, I'm in an art history class now, and that's, like, the whole point of the class. It's is just that like, it's... what do you think this painting is about?
Yeah.
And we're all just like, it could be this or that and that.
So. Will you ever, like, what? Because I feel like sometimes with logos, especially, like, when it comes to the TV station, some of them are very, like, okay, boom, there it is, it's one note, it's there. Do you ever, like, when you're making them, try to think deeper than just on the surface level while making them? Like, what's the process like for you?
So, yeah, one of the things that I learned in one of my design classes was, like, concept is everything, especially if you're doing, like, traditional graphic design. If you have, like, a solid concept, it'll make it so much better, I guess, and, like, you should try and tie that in somehow. I would say I try and think about, like, what the show's going for. Obviously, if they have anything they want specifically, and then I'll just do it. But kind of what the vibe is, if it's more casual, if it's more, like, professional-ish.
Yeah.
There is one thing that I liked doing this semester was the off-the-clock stuff. And for the lower thirds, too, I was inspired by the clock and how the hands of the clock have different widths.
Okay.
So if you look at the lower thirds, there's, like, one main rectangle, and then there's, like, a smaller one underneath.
I didn't even notice that.
Well, if you ever watch it, you'll see. But,
yeah.
So I was just inspired by, like, the different hands. It doesn't seem like that on screen, but for me personally, that's what I thought of. I was trying to tie everything in with the clock theme and things like that.
Yeah, so it's much more than just, okay, here's what they want, let me just do that, and then boom, submit.
Some shows, if they want something simple, I'm like, here.
Right.
But, yeah, no, some of them, like, that give me more creative freedom, I definitely try and be
Did you make the original Sports Talk logo? No. That wasn't you? Okay.
Garrett did that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, like, the only one that,
that I haven't done. Really? Because I was thinking, I'm like, because we were certainly one when we first started that was like, yeah, just give us something that says sports.com. Like, even the logo for the podcast, I had Garrett make, and I was like, Garrett, just, I'm in my head, I see green. Like, just go with green. Like, I don't care what it looks like. And he
just green.
But it is always like, it's wild to me because I don't know. I sometimes like to think of myself as a creative person, but like, so, like, seeing people like you and Garrett and Michelle and Brian and everybody on that team, and even then some like Sam and you know, others along those lines, just to see like their creativity, like, I'll have an idea, and like I say, like I mentioned earlier, I'll just throw it at you, and then you take it, and I'm like, wow, that's way better than I could have ever thought. So,
yeah.
It is crazy to me, but on that note, what's your number one?
Do you want to take a guess?
Is it creativity?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have bet an insane amount of money that it would have been.
You would have been right.
I feel like it's the whole theme of the podcast is about creativity. But all these things, right? All these like the five strengths and stuff. They're pretty accurate. We've talked a little bit about like you know your family and stuff. Are these things that you've just accumulated yourself, or like where do you think they all come from?
Well, I guess going back to, I did get some of my creativity from my dad's side.
Okay.
With all their accomplishments, I guess, that they do.
Yeah.
And their influence. But I'm a very independent person, and I like to have my own sense of self, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've developed it just over time, just being like, I like doing this, I like doing that. I'm just going to keep doing it, and I'll figure it out along the way. But, yeah, I would say it's just been... all the experiences that I've had just led me to this point, and that's just who I am. So.
I'm going to ask you one more question before we wrap things up. Because I genuinely have, like, 50, but I'm like, okay, I'll ask you these.
It's not going to be 3 hours.
That's what I mean. I'm like, I can't be doing an hour long. But coming into college, everybody likes to say, like, oh, college is the time of discovery, and you find yourself. Do you think high school you and growing up, like all of those five, and then even more than that, like other things that you value and other things that you have, do you think that you've accumulated all that throughout? Like, do you think you're the same person as you were like 6-7 years ago, or do you think it was really like you came here and you discovered this is what I like, this is what I want to do?
That's a tough question.
I know, it's a big question.
I would say I'm definitely a different person compared to the person I was in high school. High school me was even more like, okay, grades and school and this and that. And, like, it was always about perfectionism. And even though I still have that sense of me now, it's just more about, like, I try and just go for things more, I guess. Like, I'm just like, I don't know, meeting new people. Obviously, college, you're thrown into it.
Right.
You got to do it on your own. And especially me, I was like very independent. My parents were like, okay, you're going to do it. And I was like, okay, it's great. So picking classes, I was just like, okay, this sounds fun. I'll do it, whatever. Friends, clubs, things like that. It's just, it's been a wild ride, college, honestly, just getting to where I am now. And I would say high school me wouldn't have predicted this at all of what I'm doing, but.
That's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I mean, I feel like I've said this all the time, but I mean, you're just so insanely talented. Like, it's crazy. I genuinely want to see you on camera. Like, eventually, like, I will help.
Maybe you will.
I hope so. I will help you in any way, dude. I don't want to speak anything into existence, but I remember last year we had a little conversation about an idea that you had, and I was like, I'm in. Like, I love it. So I still think about that. I'm like, I hope we get to do that. So I hope we get to do that.
Yeah.
I would love to.
I hope but, I do too.
But all right, Mia, again, thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to come on.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, of course. Anytime. I'll ask you the rest of the questions at some other point in the next few weeks. But all right. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of the Getting to Know You podcast. That's been me, Derek. I've been Jacob Bradley. And I'll see you all very, very soon.